be the same. I searched for peace among the shadows dark and lonely, gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all that sin, the things that sin could offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He and you'll never be the same. All you have to do is reach out and touch him.
I'm not singing. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I know we were in Luke chapter 15 last week. It's not a rerun, so. In case you're wondering, yeah, here they come. Those are mercury vapor lights, and it takes a while for them to come back. So I know some of you were probably figuring on taking a nap. Now the lights are coming back on. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Last week we looked in Luke chapter 15 at the parable of the prodigal son. But in the first part of this chapter is the parable of the shepherd. Sometimes I get so focused on the prodigal son that I neglect some of the other parts of this chapter. And so this morning I wanted to look at the parable of the shepherd and see what it tells us about Jesus, the good shepherd. So we're going to read the first seven verses of Luke chapter 15. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And the 99 just persons which need no repentance are those who believe they are just and righteous and therefore think they don't need to be saved. And that's the difference in the rejoicing. The first thing I want us to notice is that Jesus is a seeking shepherd. Verse 4 said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Sheep are, you know, we're compared to sheep all throughout the Scripture. In this parable, we're compared to sheep. And it's not a flattering comparison because sheep are not very smart. They get lost easily. And when they get lost, they can't find their way back to the flock. They can't find their way back home. They are also defenseless. And so that a sheep away from the shepherd is prey for any predator that comes along, because they have no defenses. About their only defense is to run, and to be perfectly honest, they're not even smart enough to run most of the time. And so this shepherd had 100 sheep, and one got lost. And he knew all of this about sheep, and he knew that that one sheep out there was in danger, literally danger of its life. And so he left the 99 to go after the one sheep that was lost. I'm always struck by the fact that he had 100 sheep, and only one sheep was lost, but he went after it. I find that amazing. In the business world today, or in other parts of our society, there's a percentage of loss that we have learned to cope with. You know, if you've got 100 and you lose one, well, what's the big deal? You know, you just lost one. Well, here's this shepherd who lost just one sheep, but he went after it. The Bible says he went after it until he found it. He was a seeking shepherd. Well, Jesus, of course, is the shepherd in the parable. We are the sheep in the parable, and we've all gone astray. You know that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God sometime or another in our lifetime. We've all rejected God. We've all been in rebellion against Him. We've all sinned. We've all been the lost sheep. You may be here this morning, and you may still be the lost sheep. Isn't it good to know that Jesus seeks us? Now, as the lost sheep, we are vulnerable. There's no way, when we're the lost sheep, there's no way that we can find our own way back home on our own. It's not possible. We're kind of like that sheep that's lost. We may even know we're lost, but we can't figure out how to get home. We are also defenseless. I want you to listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion — a lion is a predator — as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The lost sheep are prey to the predator, which is Satan. And so Jesus seeks us. I also want you to notice the difference between Jesus is seeking the lost sheep, so's Satan seeking the lost sheep. But I want you to notice the difference. Satan seeks them so that he may devour them. Satan seeks the lost so that he can ruin their lives on this earth and cause them to die eternally in hell when life on earth is over. Jesus seeks the lost sheep so that he may save them, so that he may redeem them, protect them from Satan and from sin, and give them an abundant life here on this earth and then eternal life in heaven. Quite a difference in the two who are seeking, one to devour, one to save. And Jesus is the seeking shepherd seeking to save us. And then there's this question: did you ever wonder why Jesus seeks just one? Why Jesus seeks you or me? I mean, let's be honest. There are millions of Christians in the world. There are millions of Christians in heaven. There are countless numbers of angels in heaven. I mean, really, what's one soul? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," and that means every single individual, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We're familiar with that verse. Most people know that verse if they've been in church very long. We know God loves us. At least intellectually we know it. Sometimes we don't feel that emotionally, but it's still true. So one of the reasons Jesus seeks one is because He loves every one. But I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" A farthing is 1/16 of a denarius. A denarius is one day's wage, and in New Testament times, it wasn't much. Probably the equivalent of a penny in our money today. So two sparrows are worth 1/16 of a penny. Now listen to what the Bible says. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." Isn't that amazing? When a sparrow falls to the ground, God knows. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus seeks you and me because he loves you and me. Jesus seeks you and me because we are valuable to him. I sometimes talk to people, and I know you've talked to people before, who feel worthless. They feel like their spouse doesn't love them the way they want them to, or maybe their spouse doesn't love them at all. Their children have neglected them. Their friends have forsaken them. Their family has forsaken them. Maybe they've lost their job, and nobody at the job has called to see how they're doing. They feel worthless. They feel left out. They feel alone. They feel valueless. And yet the Bible tells us that we are of great value to God. So much value that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die just for us, just for you and me, just for one. So much so that Jesus gave his life for one person. You are the one. You are valuable to him. And because you're valuable to him, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is seeking you. Now, the seeking usually comes, if it's the lost sheep, the seeking comes in the form of conviction for sin. Now, we don't like that too much. We even sometimes interpret conviction of sin as judgment from God and God causing us to feel guilty for our sin. The opposite is the truth. The conviction that we feel for sin is the seeking shepherd. He's calling out to us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, maybe I need to explain that just a little bit. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life, you're not a Christian. You're a lost sheep. I hope that you'll hear his voice this morning, even now, even while I'm saying this. And I hope you'll just simply ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your life. He'll do it. You know, it doesn't have to be anything dramatic. Just ask him. And he'll do it. But even after that, even as Christians, and before we become Christians, we feel that conviction. We hear the voice of the seeking shepherd, and we reject him. We neglect him. We run away from him. We say no. But he's relentless. The shepherd in the parable sought the sheep until he found the sheep. Jesus continues to seek us. Even when we say no, he continues to offer us forgiveness of our sins. He continues to convict us of our sins. Sometimes we wish he wouldn't, don't we? Sometimes we just wish you'd leave me alone. Just give me a minute's peace. But that's the love of God. That's the value that you are to God, that he relentlessly convicts you of your sins, seeking you to draw him to you. One of the tricks that Satan will use, he'll try to tell you, if there's somebody, I think there's somebody here this morning that's not saved. I'm just going to tell you that. I don't have any special revelation from God. You know, sometimes you can just tell. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, one of the things that the devil's telling you, maybe telling you this right now, is, well, just wait. Just wait a while. You know, it's not the right time. There's a better time when you're older, or maybe when you were younger, you should have, or after you get married, or after you have kids, or after you get established in a job, or after you retire, or after, later. Just wait, later. There's a better time later. That's a lie. There's no better time than right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want to give you a warning if you're not a Christian. Jesus is seeking now. Amen. Jesus is calling your name now. You feel conviction for sin now. But the day is coming. The moment is coming when the seeking will stop. And Satan doesn't tell you that. There is a moment when it's too late. Don't wait too long. That's why I said right now, while I'm speaking, if you want to come to the altar, come to the altar. I'll stop and we'll pray. Right where you are, ask Jesus to forgive you. It's that important. The next thing I want us to notice about Jesus is that he is a securing shepherd. Now, Christian, pay attention to this. And if you just got saved a minute ago, pay attention to this. This is good stuff. Luke chapter 15, verse 5. When he, the shepherd, hath found it, the sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The laying on the shoulders, the placing the sheep on the shoulders by the shepherd was an act of securing the sheep. On the shepherd's shoulders, the sheep is safe from all predators. On the shepherd's shoulders, the sheep's going to find his way home because the shepherd knows how to get there. He's going to take the sheep home. On the shepherd's shoulders, he will bring the sheep to food and water and shelter and fellowship with the rest of the sheep in the fold. That's security. We as Christians, we forget this. Now, there's an important step before we get there. The sheep was lost. Away from the shepherd, away from the fold. The shepherd sought the sheep, called out his name. And the sheep heard the voice of the shepherd and responded. He came to the shepherd and submitted to the shepherd, allowed him to put him on his shoulders. If we're the lost sheep, we hear God calling our name. We feel the conviction for our sin. Our palms are sweaty, or our heart's beating in our chest, or we're nervous, or whatever. We're just fidgety, whatever it might be. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus calling your name. If we'll submit to Him, if we'll come to Him and confess our sins, then He'll forgive us of our sins and He will secure us. We're not real good at this security thing. We Christians aren't. And I have to say in particular, we Free Will Baptists aren't real good at this security thing. We're afraid of that word, security. But I want you to listen, Christian, there is security in God's power. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep, these are the words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's security. My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen, Christian, we're safe in the hands of God. We're safe. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole deal of turning away from God and all that other stuff. I'm talking about when we come to God and when we serve Him and love Him and obey Him, we are safe in His hands. Jesus said nobody can take us out of God's hands. No power on earth can remove us from the hands of God. You're not going to wake up in the morning, Christian, and accidentally be lost. See, it's not going to happen. Satan's not going to come during the night and steal your soul away. We are safe by the power of God in the hands of God. There's also security in His provision. Now, we like this part, Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We know that verse. That's another one like John 3:16. We're familiar with it and we like it. Boy, when the bills are coming due, we say, now Philippians 4:19 says... Listen to Matthew 6:31 through 33. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And in that case, the Gentiles was referring to those who were unsaved. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's security in God's provision if we seek first God. You know what we do? We seek first the things, right? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drive? Where are we going to live? What kind of retirement account am I going to have? We seek the things first. And Jesus said, listen, no. Seek God first. Seek the kingdom of God first. Seek His righteousness first. And then He said, listen, all these things shall be added unto you. There's security in God's provision. There's security in God's protection. Psalm 34, verses 15 and 17. You folks that are having surgery next week, listen to this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. We forget about that sometimes too, don't we? We worry about things. We worry about stuff. We worry about people. We worry about sickness. We worry about disease. We worry about surgery. We worry about plenty. We worry about loss. We worry when we don't have anything to worry about. And yet there's security in the protection of Jesus Christ. He is looking and listening for His people. He knows when we're in trouble, and He's there to help us every time. He knows before we get into trouble, and He's already there to help us every time. There is security in God's promise. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the promise. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This world's in kind of a mess, isn't it? Things aren't going exactly the way Christians think they ought to go. But now I want to tell you something. They're going the way exactly that God knew they would. And we get to worrying sometimes about the condition of the world and think, man, I'm just not sure this is what God had in mind. Rest assured, God knows. God knew on August the 21st of 2016 exactly what the condition of the world would be. And He said, listen, Christians, listen, my children, don't worry. I promise you that if I leave, I'm going to fix a place for you, and I will come again, and I'll receive you, and I'll take you home to be with me. There's security in the promise of God. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. This world's going to end. My place, my home, the Christian's place, the Christian's permanent home is not here. It's in heaven. God's fixing it. And when He gets it all done, He's going to come and get us and take us home. The life of the Christian is abundant and eternal. And folks, we need to rest in the security of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last thing I want you to notice is that He is a celebrating shepherd. Verse 6 says, and when He cometh home, He calleth together His friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. By the way, you notice it's not the lost sheep anymore. It's my sheep now. There are three parables in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. There are several common elements to all three of those parables. But one of those common elements is the rejoicing, the celebrating when that which was lost is found or when the son came home. Luke chapter 15, verse 10, the Bible says, likewise say I unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God rejoices when one person repents of their sins and accepts Him as Savior. All of heaven, in the presence of the angels of God in heaven, there's rejoicing, there's a celebration. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Hard to admit that, isn't it? But that's the first step to being found, is admitting that you're lost. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'll ask you to bow your heads and be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Christian, I want you to relax and enjoy the security of being God's child. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that He's seeking you right now. That stuff that you're feeling, that conviction that you feel, that's the love of God. That's the voice of God calling your name, seeking you. If you'll respond to Him, if you'll come to Him, if you'll confess your sins, He'll forgive you of all your sins and He'll welcome you home and He will secure you in His powerful arms. Wouldn't you like that? You come while we sing. We're going to take just one more minute. Please be in an attitude of prayer.